Roughly Speaking with Dan Rodericks is brought to you by the Ivy Bookshop. The Ivy stocks a wide selection of books covering Baltimore and the Chesapeake Bay region, many by local authors. Located at 6080 Falls Road, more information can be found at theivybookshop.com.
Hello again from the Baltimore Sun. I'm Dan Rodericks, and this is Roughly Speaking. It's episode 341. Tuesday, January 9th, 2018. Just 11 days before Christmas, the Federal Communications Commission, in a 3-2 vote, scrapped popular internet neutrality rules that had barred broadband providers such as Comcast and Verizon from interfering with internet traffic. That vote brought a hailstorm of criticism to the FCC, and now there are efforts to save net neutrality. Senate Democrats are trying to force a vote on reinstating the rules, and they've hit a key legislative milestone, according to the tech news website Ars Technica. Meanwhile, state legislators in Nebraska and California are proposing net neutrality laws to replace the nationwide ones repealed by the FCC. Maryland Attorney General Brian Frosch is among those who believe the change in rules will limit choices for consumers. And many net neutrality advocates believe even higher costs are in store for Verizon and Comcast customers. Today on the show, Sean Gallagher, the Baltimore-based IT editor of Ars Technica and our favorite TechSplainer, explains what the demise of net neutrality will mean for consumers in Maryland and across the nation unless congressional action reverses the controversial FCC vote. We start with a brief explanation of the ideal of net neutrality.
What net neutrality means is that all internet traffic gets treated the same. And that means that you sending your traffic off to someplace as a small business or, say, you know, the Baltimore Sun hosting a podcast gets the same bandwidth allocated to it as Netflix does or somebody like that over the pipes of the internet. That is fundamental to much of the economy that the internet has created, because as small startups coming up with a new service, they don't have to pay for the same level of access that AT&T or Verizon or Netflix or Comcast or any established streaming company, you know, Facebook or something like that would have to pay.
It is really like a highway.
It is.
I mean, you get on, you use the highway, I use the highway, maybe we pay a toll somewhere. It's there for all of us.
And it's a privately operated highway to begin with, because the government doesn't own any of the infrastructure the internet passes over.
That's right.
It's all telecommunications companies.
That's part of their argument, right?
Right.
We built this thing.
Right. And your phone traffic, your phone calls don't get throttled, right? You don't have a phone call where you have to pay for extra quality for somebody to be able to hear you on the other end, right? And so that was the FCC's original take on this, was that, you know, everything that passes over the wires, all communications that pass over the wires, needs to not be interfered with by carriers. Carriers should just sell, the pipes,
right?
And they can offer different levels of peering to people in terms of what physical access they have, but you can't block traffic from vendors. So in India, for example, which has very strict net neutrality rules, Facebook tried to offer essentially free phones where you only had internet access through Facebook. And India blocked that. They stopped that deal because it violated their network neutrality rules.
How does that violate net neutrality?
Because the only bandwidth you're offering is through Facebook service, right, to Facebook.
Oh, that was the only one offered.
Right. So
Facebook-only
phone, right? Imagine if you could get free internet, but the only internet sites you could visit were Facebook and Twitter and Netflix.
Right. Okay.
Okay. That would be a form of filtering. Filtering is another piece of this, that network neutrality prevents filtering of traffic to prevent blocking of access to some content.
This is why people are concerned under the FCC ruling that we'll have to pay more for content. Is that right?
That's one possibility. Another possibility is that some internet providers will block competitors' services. So, for example, you know, in Baltimore City, almost everybody uses Comcast for broadband because Comcast has essentially blocked the market out. Verizon has not entered the market in the city. So as a result, say Comcast decided, because they own NBC and they own other content companies and they would see Netflix as a competitor, what if they said, okay, we're not going to allow Netflix traffic to cross our wires to go to Comcast customers, unless Comcast customers pay extra or unless Netflix pays us extra.
So that's the concern.
Right. Now, Netflix has already put servers on Comcast's network to speed
delivery of
their content, purely for performance purposes, but they were also concerned about this threat of Comcast blocking their traffic, so they cut a deal a while back. But that sort of thing could happen. You know, everybody's been into this whole cutting the wire thing,
right,
and going from cable to stream services.
Just Wi-Fi
right,
only.
Right. But if you live in the city, your only choice for internet access is Comcast, essentially, for that kind of service. So you can't really cut the wire from them completely. And then even if you were to go to an internet service where you just had Comcast for internet and then you paid for pieces from different streaming services, if Comcast decided, well, that's negatively impacting our cable business, so we're going to block these streaming services, or offer it as a package deal, you know, they could essentially hold people who wanted to be wire cutters hostage. Right?
So now they can do that. Given this ruling, based on what you understand of it,
Within the next 60 days or so, once the rules have been published and the new rules have been published, yes, they could do that. They have to publicly announce they're doing it. That's the only regulation on it.
Because there are so few players in the market, right? Comcast, Verizon, who else is in this?
Charter Spectrum,
okay,
for example.
There's not
many players out there, no.
That's why it would seem to me you have to have regulation of some kind, because there's so few choices for consumers. It's not a big open market.
Right.
They're practically utilities. I understand they're private companies, but...
And that's in another important change that's happened. Is the Obama administration is pushing towards internet service being treated the same as phone service in terms of requiring universal service, requiring the same level of uniform regulation that we give telephone companies and how they behave. And that is something that's been reversed in the last year. So one of the things that people are concerned about is that it's already really expensive for people to get internet service out in rural areas. I mean, we've had stories in ours about people who had, you know, they were told they could get internet service, but they had to pay $10,000 for the fiber to be laid to their house. Cable companies have not been eager to embrace those areas because the cost of laying the cable per customer is so much higher.
Right.
If you were to apply universal service rules to internet, then they would have to provide broadband out to these communities, right? So that's been nixed. We have a situation where you can both charge higher tolls for certain types of access. You can throttle competitors, and you can do pretty much what you want with your broadband service. And a lot of people are going to find that their bills are going to go up one way or another.
This comes from the libertarian Republican side of our partisan country that says government hands off, it's a free market. It's a free-for-all. Comcast, you charge and do what you want to do to stay competitive, to make a profit. And Verizon, you do what you want to do, and may the best man win. And in the meantime, customers pay more. That's what it sounds like to me. This is all about profits.
We haven't seen it play out yet. And there's other things that could put pressure on those companies to not throttle or to do things that attract customers, especially if there's more competition. The problem is that
where would the more competition come from?
And that's the open question, right? So there aren't any new companies coming into this space to disrupt the incumbents, the companies that essentially hold duopoly or monopoly on broadband in many markets. And it's unlikely that there will be. Now, you know, most of the internet usage that happens now isn't over broadband in its traditional definition. A lot of it is over smartphones and over cellular networks.
Right.
And those have been unregulated. Those have already been set aside as someplace where the companies can manage the traffic that travels over them and give priority to certain traffic. So, for example, that's why you can get unlimited streaming of video on your phone, right? Because the cellular carriers have said, okay, we're going to give this traffic, this video traffic, a priority, and we're not going to charge for it. And we're going to filter that traffic to allow it to travel faster or for more of it to travel without us throttling individual customers, right?
And therefore, they think they'll gain more customers because of that. That's your point, isn't it?
Yeah, that's my point.
That's why they're
that's
doing
my point.
It.
So it can be used as a promotional thing to draw people in. So you have Verizon and you have AT&T and you have T-Mobile and Sprint competing for customers by offering free services within their, you know, within whatever their data caps are. You've already seen that AT&T used their broadband cellular service as a tool to get people to sign up for DirecTV. So that's an example of how you can bundle things in ways that make services more attractive, even if there is no network neutrality.
Mm-hmm. And you're making this point about cellular because you think,
I think
it's we'll see some of this.
I think it is possible we'll see some of those sorts of things come over.
Wouldn't we have
broadband.
Seen it anyway? I mean, wouldn't Comcast and Verizon, that's the two we're talking about for this region.
See, the thing is
they still have to be competitive, right?
But the thing is that, okay, so for some customers, they will do these things. And they will try to be more competitive. Right? They've already bundled phone service and things like that. So imagine if they could bundle other information services or offer free subscriptions to subscription programs on various streaming services or other, you know, information services.
Oh, you mean,
as part of
your
deal.
Hypothetically, Comcast makes a deal with Netflix to provide free subscriptions to Netflix for Comcast customers?
Right.
Is that what you're saying? Something like that?
Yeah, something like that.
Hmm. But that couldn't happen before this ruling?
It could not, because that would be giving somebody a priority, giving somebody priority service. So
it's not neutral.
Right, so they may have been able to do something similar to that, but you can also add on to that, we guarantee this level of streaming quality to all of our customers, right? So
okay, but the cynics say, this looks like profit. This is all about profit. This is all about costing us more.
Well, it's going
charging
to be,
us more.
It's going to be more about profit, because, and it's not just for the ISPs who we work with as consumers. It's also for the backbone carriers, companies that own the infrastructure that Comcast and Verizon and everybody else link into. They'll be able to say, all right, I'm going to cut a deal with Netflix on the backbone to make sure that Netflix gets an accelerated channel for their traffic, right? And they get priority over all other network traffic. And Netflix is going to pay me X million dollars a year for that additional channel, dedicated channel of traffic.
Mm-hmm.
Or I'm going to filter out content from this one ISP because they're not paying me as much money. Or I'm going to throttle their traffic. So imagine if you're Facebook, right? And Facebook is trying to get into the TV business, essentially. And Facebook is trying to get into other channels of content. Facebook could say, okay, we're going to provide a special service where you get free broadband, all the broadband you want, but it all passes through Facebook, right? And the only internet you see is the internet you see through the Facebook app that we will install on your PC or on your home device, right?
Okay.
I mean, most
okay.
So
stick with that, because I'm trying to think, what's the downside of this?
The downside of that is that other services, Twitter and the rest of the World Wide Web.
Instagram.
Well, Instagram is
that's
owned
different.
By Facebook.
Facebook,
now,
that's right.
Right?
I forgot. So, sorry. All right. But anyway, stick with your Facebook ideas.
So Facebook could essentially become the only internet that those people see. Okay, in exchange for them.
You mean they have no more choices, or they've made this choice in order to get the free broadband.
So they could say then throttle how much you see outside of Facebook. Say if you clicked on a link in Facebook to go to a site.
I see. Right. So now you're back to India and the phones.
Right.
That example you cited earlier. The problem with that was they were Facebook phones.
You can't Google anything, right? For example.
Okay.
You can only Facebook it.
All right.
So there's the thing. So you know somebody could say to Google, or Google could say, okay, we're giving everybody free fiber, but you can only access services through Google Search.
Okay. How does Google offer free fiber when Verizon and Comcast control it all?
Google comes in and lays fiber down.
Really?
Yeah. So done this in a number of cities where they've offered fiber service. They've done citywide fiber optic networks.
Come to Baltimore.
We tried to get them to come to Baltimore.
That's
right.
It was a competition.
Right.
I remember that.
So Google could come into some place and say, hey, we'll put in a free fiber optic network for you. But we get to control the traffic.
By the way, have you noticed any difference with your service during the cold spell?
I didn't, but, you know.
Does this happen?
It's temperature, not so much, but if it's snowing or if it's raining.
I must have a problem in my house. I'm having a problem. It's an old router. I got to get a new router.
Well, that could be a problem. Yeah. And one of the things that can happen is if it gets too cold and the cables get brittle, you know, secret squirrel can come along and break your
secret
wire.
Secret squirrel.
Yeah. So
I put peanuts out in my backyard the other day, and we had a squirrel convention.
Well, squirrels cause more internet outages than just about anything else.
Do they really?
Yeah, and power outages. Yeah.
Oh, maybe I better be careful about feeding the squirrels in my yard.
Yeah.
But listen, what about the resistance to this FCC ruling? It's got a lot of people heated up.
Right. So a number of state
attorneys general
have filed a suit to try and block this because of the impact on their states.
I think our Brian Frosch has joined in that.
I believe he is involved with it as well as the attorney general from New York State. We'll have to see how that works out. You know, the FCC basically doesn't think that they're beholden to the states in any way because they're a federal agency and they have carte blanche for managing communications in the U.S. So we'll see how it goes. I don't have a lot of confidence in a court challenge to it. You know, right now it's looking like we've got net neutrality on death watch. We'll have to see how this all boils out. I think.
What do you personally expect?
I personally expect net neutrality to be dead by March. What happens beyond that will depend greatly on what the companies do with that. I think that the companies in the industry, some of whom have lobbied for the continuation of net neutrality for many reasons, because it makes life more complicated for them if they have to then go and negotiate all these deals.
Is that mainly the content providers?
Yes. Facebook has been a strong proponent of net neutrality in the U.S., for example, and Google has been.
I was reading a New York Times story just yesterday about deregulation generally in the United States, you know, Trump, and how this has businesses excited, executives excited about investing, about expanding their companies. But the same article said that there's very little historical evidence that deregulation leads to growth.
No. And that's the big question. I don't think that this particular deregulation is going to make any more jobs. I don't think it's going to expand the economy that much. It, in fact, will probably throttle the growth of new content providers on the internet because they'll have this extra complexity and cost in order to play against the big boys. And I think that unless there is some other innovation that happens that's disruptive to the established broadband troika, right? There's only like three companies that really do broadband in the U.S. And there are these also RANs that do things that aren't even considered by FCC definition to be broadband. I mean, to be broadband now, you have to be over 20 megabits per second or something like that. And
so is it really only three players at that level?
Pretty much.
Yeah. And so
unless they
decide to innovate, to invest.
Right. Or unless somebody comes along and finds a way to bypass them and deliver service better than them.
Right.
Without having to incur the cost of running fiber or wires to everybody's homes. One of the potential drivers for that, and one of the reasons why Google did what it did, was because of advertising, right? So imagine if you got internet traffic and in front of every website you saw, there was a new ad, an ad laid on top of that website that wasn't put there by the company that runs the website, right, to pay for your access to the internet. And that's something Google could do, theoretically, right, is inject advertisements into internet traffic.
Consumers may not like that.
No, consumers definitely don't like that.
But they definitely don't like paying more either.
Right, right, right. And there have been a couple cases where there were providers who did that that got in trouble with the FCC for net neutrality reasons or were warned off of it for other reasons.
So now they would be able to do it.
Right.
Yeah.
And the other thing is that while you aren't able to inject traffic into some types of web traffic, since it's encrypted passing over the wire, you can't put other content in there, but you can do something called super cookies, right? So there are things that can be put into packets by the internet providers to track your usage of different services. So Verizon was doing that with phones to do locale-based advertising. Right, so they could like offer you advertisements based on where you physically were in the world at any given moment, based on which tower you were hitting. That could happen with broadband. They could basically make money off of your traffic, make money off of what you do.
I don't have a problem with this. Other people may because they don't like a lot of clutter, right?
Right.
In this life that we lead these days. But I'd rather see that than increase subscription costs.
So Google already does that to some degree with cookies. They track the pages.
We're getting used to this.
You know, when you click on something, and then for the next week, it shows up as an ad.
For the next month. You feel like telling them, listen, I bought it from somebody else. Stop.
Yeah, right, exactly. Well, imagine if you walk past a pet store and then for the next 3 weeks, you get ads on every device, not just on your phone, but every device saying for that pet store.
Right.
I mean, that would be an example.
You probably have to go into the pet store, not just walk past it.
I mean, if you have to brush against their network.
Right, you have to brush against the network. Okay.
Okay. You know, and that's, I mean, we're already experiencing some of this stuff with, you know.
We're getting used to it.
Yeah. I mean, if you use Wi-Fi, in-store Wi-Fi, for example.
Oh, yeah. Forget that.
Okay.
I'm in Macy's. I'm using Macy's Wi-Fi. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. So if you're there, you're giving up a lot of your personal data while you're using their Wi-Fi. Right? So,
you need towels.
So it'll be like everybody, so the entire world will be like running on some retailer's free Wi-Fi.
Yeah. All right, Sean, let's see what happens after March, right? They're going to publish the regs in March?
We're expecting the regs to be published this month.
Mm. Oh, this month, okay.
And then it's 60 days after that before they take effect. So we have a limited window within which to get somebody to change this, and I don't think this administration is in the mood to change this. So,
thank you, Sean.
Thank you.
Sean Gallagher is the IT and national security editor of Ars Technica, the tech news website. He lives in Baltimore and joins us from time to time to explain developments in the digital world. You can find links to the Ars Technica stories I referenced at the top of the show in the notes of this podcast. And that's our program for now. For producers Steve Early and Quinn Kelly, I'm Dan Rodericks. Thanks again for listening to Roughly Speaking, and we'll see you soon.
Roughly Speaking with Dan Rodericks is brought to you by the Ivy Bookshop, an independent bookstore at Falls Road and Lake Avenue in Baltimore. The Ivy stocks a wide selection of books covering Baltimore and the Chesapeake Bay region, many by local authors. Located at 6080 Falls Road, more information can be found at theivybookshop.com or by calling 410-377-2966.